Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Wheel. This week, Ganja and Hess, a film, I forgot, I didn't have Wikipedia in front of me. The film directed by, what's his name?
Bill Gunn.
Bill Gunn. In the 60s, late 60s.
70s.
Early 70s then. Michelle, this was your pick.
Uh-huh.
Why?
I was looking at the Rolling Stone top 100 horror films. This was like in the 80s or 90s.
So you didn't even pick anything like you can't go.
We've seen all the like top 30 stuff.
So like The Exorcist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all stuff.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. They were in the top three.
Well, this is barely a horror movie.
Was The Sweet Blood of Jesus on the list?
I don't remember seeing it. It might have been.
It's a remake of this movie for the audience.
Mm-hmm. By Spike Lee, who I guess really dug this movie.
As you can see, this is very, I don't want to say it's like Black Panther, but it's a big deal.
It's like Black Panther.
No, it is. Yeah. It would be nice to see that, like... You know, like how Blackula was a big
I was about just thinking about that. There's already blaxploitation films, mm-hmm. but this is like an art house blaxploitation film, which is why I found very fascinating.
Actually. Usually, there's a lot of Christ imagery and like extended scenes of people in church, and
mm-hmm.
so there's a lot. Yeah. Tell us more.
Well, when I was watching this, since you guys, it is a, that's, well, let's just start out with, do we recommend our audience to actually watch this movie?
I loved it, and I'm an ally to all communities. All
right, Michelle, how did it feel?
It was important, but it was just very slow and difficult to watch.
Because there isn't much of a story.
Racist.
Cancelled.
No, I agree.
I agree as well. It requires your investment.
It's difficult to follow.
It is. The plot is like, it's not very like traditional.
No.
And I guess I get what it's going for.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about like the themes.
Yes.
But that is hard to pull off.
Yes, especially within a genre, a story framework where you expect a lot of things to happen, right? Mm-hmm. This is very counter. This is nothing like Dracula had, you know, very clear beginning. It's very well paced, very scary story. This is barely a horror movie. Mm-hmm. This is more exploring what a black vampire like symbolically represents.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of that, I think, what this film is trying to do is whether it's a reclamation of vampire mythology. Well, the movie starts out by saying, like, this piece of academic who visits Africa and then gets stabbed by this knife that transfers this vampiric disease onto him. Mm-hmm. And it's very, well, grounds the vampire mythology as African.
Yeah.
When in reality, well, not in reality, but what we traditionally know as vampire is, well, it started out as something very anti-Semitic, right? It's like, these are blood-sucking Jews coming to invade you. But it's, if you take into context, like, what Anne Rice has done, or even what Twilight has done, this is a very white character.
Yeah.
The character of Dracula is, it's grounded in white Western iconography, the gaudy, the big cat, the big mansion.
It's not what Twilight and Anne Rice did. That's just,
they perpetuated it, but that's the most popular, like, interpretation, like, what, how it exists in, like, popular, like,
what about
culture.
Jacob?
Well, no, it's a werewolf. He's not a vampire. They very distinctly, he's a Native American werewolf, which carries his own, like, that's not even trying to unpack what they were going with in that.
But the vampires, I just remember that. In Twilight, do they turn into bats?
No.
Oh, okay.
But they can move very, very fast.
Oh, okay.
And just like in Twilight, these vampires can go out in the sun, so like that element.
Twilight, they can only do that when they need a ring. No, that's Vampire Diaries.
You're thinking of...
That's true. Yes.
They wear a ring in Vampire Diaries. That's so dumb. I'm sorry. That's, at least in Twilight, they just go like they sparkle.
Vampire Diaries, season one. One of the best cinematic experiences.
It's
like,
fun.
It's fun. But, it doesn't, like, take the rules, mm-hmm. I guess, the same, like, approach.
Exactly. But maybe the sun thing has to do with the African art. I don't know if that is, like, supposedly they're intentionally mixing it up, because mm-hmm. The rules are very, very different. Mm-hmm. The only thing that remains the same is their need to feast on blood.
Yeah. The African strand of the vampiric gene is sun-oriented.
It's sun-oriented. They
and
can go
you
out.
Can eat, go to church, I guess? Or does he die by the cross?
He dies by exposing himself directly to the cross, to the cross. Oh, okay, I think.
Okay, so that's
he went in a church.
Yeah, but he wasn't.
He wasn't trying to. I think. What? Well,
he committed to seppuku.
He basically committed vampiric seppuku. Really hitting all the cultural notes here. So the movie ends with him, I guess, getting tiring of this life of like perpetual existence and slaughter,
mm-hmm.
and going to attend mass. He goes through like we could describe as an excruciating 5-minute sequence where you just sit with them and they sing the song. But that actually reveals itself, I think, this is his like come to Jesus moment, literally, as he realizes that, and he's like, maybe I should like this existence of mine can't go on.
Yeah,
and I will return. But then again, like how much that is in contrast to the African, I don't want to call it mysticism, but like that Dracula origin, how much of that is giving in to what is maybe a Western god? I don't know.
No, that makes it way more interesting. I feel like
how do you conform? Maybe him giving that up is conforming to this culture, like to just like him being himself.
Yeah.
Right, because isn't vampire always like an allegory for like an outsider time, right?
Yeah.
But and also how elusive and seductive that being that outsider is, which is I think the point of like the woman character,
Ganja.
Yeah, because she gives this actually I thought really well written monologue. That moment I really really liked that. That's probably my favorite scene in the movie, where she just talks about like how she like her mother like misunderstood her, thought like called her a slut and like body shamed her. She's like, no, I'll no longer want to be defined. I'm in for myself, because like this, like I must stay true to myself. And that's kind of her convincing herself that she wants this existence. She wants to be a vampire because she considers herself already shunned. So yeah, I like that how much and. At the end of the movie, she continues, and he chooses not to go on, but maybe for her, like, this is, like, a new beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
No, that's... Yeah.
But, Michelle, what did you think overall?
I think you said it was, like, a bit difficult to follow.
Difficult.
Very slow. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I would think the dream stuff, you thought it was like iconography.
Yeah, because there's the opening titles are just of Christian like sculptures and stuff like that. And at one point, there's a scene that I didn't think about it until he regularly preys on people, right? Mm-hmm. Like here's his victims, which are generally I think seen as sex workers, which opens another entire can of worms in terms of like what not can of worms, but just I think what he's trying to say there, that those are the victims. A little bit of Jack the Ripper, but at one point he talks up a mother and her child, and when he leaves and she's all blood, like there's this very virginal, he kills the Virgin Mary, and the Virgin Mary is literally on top of it, and he leaves behind the mother and her baby, and is that like he literally kills, he's destroying that iconography or at least defiling it.
Or he's God, leaving his son on the world without him.
Interesting. Yeah, I works as well. So yeah, I really like that. There's this constant, seems to be war between like the two sides, right?
I like this idea of God being like destroyed by his creation. That's cool.
Yeah, it's his own hubris.
Yeah.
And that's passed on to us, I guess.
I'm going to trademark that, so no one listening
take that idea. The disclaimer will play after. We'll record that
Sorry.
In.
Isn't that Frankenstein?
That's true.
The modern Prometheus. All right. Do we have any more to add?
I think that's it.
That's it? All right. So let's take a break. And we're back. All right, step right up. 7 reels, everybody. You gotta rate them.
4.5.
Yeah.
I wanted to like it.
You wanted to
same
like
year,
it.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give it 5.5. I got what they were going for. I quite
I don't
I quite liked
did,
it.
But okay.
I don't think. Maybe I didn't. But nevertheless, I quite liked it. All right, what have we watched this week? Well, yesterday we all went and saw Kitty Green's new film, The Royal Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. She's 3 for 3 now. I don't think she's made a bad movie yet.
I loved it too.
It's very, very good. A great Me Too, one of those Me Too movies that's not explicit, that isn't, is about what it, like mm-hmm. what a Me Too movie should be, instead of just being about platitudes.
Like it's
platitudes.
Not like a literal like, thing where it's like, oh, this...
No, it feels real. It's just like, it feels like a real scenario of these people put in a very, very vulnerable mm-hmm. position.
So like, what's it called? Well, I guess Promising Young Woman does a version of that. But mm-hmm. this, I think, is better.
Yes, I like this a whole lot better.
It's really fun.
And it exposed...
It's a good thriller.
Without there really being... Is there really anything for them to be afraid of? Or maybe there is, or...
Yes, that is.
I thought there was, but at the same time, I thought if she had
could she have handled things too? Like, is it her, even her responsibility to, like, to step up and handle things? The scene when, like, I think the big scene when, like, the guy's getting more aggressive in the bar,
mm-hmm.
it's like maybe she could have talked him down a little bit, like, but is it even her responsibility to be the one to step up and do it in the first place?
And, like, why are they getting angry? Because they can't have sex with them. Like, that is
That's why. Like, they're
building
all frustrated.
That's the pressure, is them being frustrated. Like, why is that her fault?
Well, the other side of it is when the other girl is like, he's fine, I'm fine with him, and she's saying, no, you don't understand,
mm-hmm.
he's dangerous with her, not with the other girl.
Yeah, but when he like broke into the house,
mm-hmm.
she was passed out, so she had no idea that he broke in and he was trying to get into that room.
Oh, right,
yeah,
I forgot about that.
That was a great scene. Oh, so good.
It's such a well done like thrill. It's like comparable to like Straw Dogs, you know?
Yes. Like the anxiety and building of just being around other people.
Yeah.
And
it was, honestly, I think it was one of the best movies I've seen
this year. It's very well done. Wonderfully acted. Hugo Weaving shows up. I didn't even know he was in this. He's so good. He's the boss. Agent Smith in The Matrix, Mr.
That's
V for Vendetta.
He's
Elrond in
Lord
of the Rings. Fantastic here.
I love also the like subtle racism.
So good. One of the best
scenes
that you ever, I think, to do it. Like what
like,
it feels like today in 2023.
Yeah.
Like
nothing goes on.
He's like, you don't want to be here. The way that he looks at him and just like little pat on the, so beautiful. And the way like Hugo Weaving, like she has to beg him to pay him.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta pay him now. He's like, he can get away with it because he can't get away with it.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
It's,
I thought that was one of the best parts of it. It's just like, the whole movie is like a great handling a tricky subject with a very delicate like touch, you know what I mean? Like it's a masterclass in that.
And also with a sense of humor. There's a sense of the black humor.
It doesn't feel like it's teaching you a lesson.
No.
It doesn't feel like someone's sitting down and being like, you're bad and you're good.
And I love the opening itself. The first 5 minutes is already like a microcosm of what the rest of the film is. It starts out in that scene, in that nightclub, they're having fun, a guy comes over, and already Jessica Hammond's character is like a little bit...
And when she like leaves the underground
and into the bright sun, like Sydney,
it's like
beautiful.
Visually,
in that opening credit sequence, I loved it. So good, beautiful. Anyways, we highly recommend it. Go see it if it's playing near you. What are our recommendations?
Only Lovers Left Alive.
God
damn
it. It's basically, I think, more coherent.
Oh, okay.
This type of movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle.
After Hours.
That's a good one.
And also check out our episode of After Hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie. My recommendation is Let the Right One In, the Swedish version, even though I thought the American remake wasn't that bad, but the Swedish one.
Mm-hmm.
Another vampire story that's kind of about the loneliness and isolation that comes from this perpetual existence.
Mm-hmm.
I quite enjoyed it. So, all right. So, whose turn is it to pick
it's
next week?
It's my turn to pick, and I want to move to Spain, so this is my fantasy movie.
Alright.
It's called Pain and Glory.
Almodovar.
Yeah. It stars Antonio Banderas, who I think should be in more stuff. So I'm excited.
Yes. Wasted in that Indiana Jones movie.
He was in Indiana Jones.
The newest, the latest one, remember? He's the boat captain.
What?
Yeah, that was Antonio Banderas.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just nothing role. He deserves a lot better. Anyways, that's what we should be watching, and that's what you should be watching when you join us here next week. All right. See ya.
Bye.
The 730 is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya El-Bashir. Thanks for listening.